The Jobs and Economic Development Finance Conference Committee for May 6, 2015 will come to order. I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm picking the Wild in 4th Street, just so you know. Okay? This is what it's going to be. The fifth team to come back from a 3-0 deficit. How's that sound? Okay? And then, because something's going to happen, Crawford's going to start missing pucks, I think. So, what do you think, Osmick? Am I nuts?
Well, Senator, you ran the Senate today, so I guess miracles do happen.
That ain't bad. That ain't bad. So we can get this over with in a hurry if the House will just accept all the Senate provisions.
We can take a vote on that.
Well, all in favor? So let's start out by with introductions, and why don't we just start right over here. And everybody put a microphone up to your face so they can hear you, and just go around the table. We'll introduce everybody to the crowd so everybody knows who we are on both sides of the aisle and both sides of the table. So go ahead.
Jackie Bruceune.
Well, say what
you want.
Okay, there you go. All right.
Andy Eilers, Senate Republican Research.
Nicholas Jelinek, I am the intern for Senator Tomasoni.
Coley Colburn, Senate Page.
Craig Janisich, Senate DFL Research.
Mary Pedersen, Senate DFL Research.
Scott Sandy, I'm the committee administrator for Senator Tomasoni's committee.
Laura Bach, I'm the committee legislative assistant for Senator Bach. I mean, Senator.
Senator.
She does. Senator Tomasoni.
She does other things for Senator Bach. I've always wondered if she really knew who she worked for.
We got this on tape, right?
Yeah, we got this on tape. It's all on tape.
Oh, it's my
turn. Yeah, your turn.
Senator Dave Osmick.
Senator Vicki Jensen. I'm Senate District 24, which is Rice, Steele, Dodge, and Waseca counties.
Senator Dan Sparks, Southern Minnesota, Austin, Elbert Lee area.
Dick Cohen from St. Paul.
Carlin Doyle Fontaine, Senate Council.
David Tomasoni from Chisholm.
I'll go with us, Dad.
Mary Mullen from House Research.
Anita Newman from House Research.
Bob Eliff, House Research.
Laurie Pompu, House Research.
Harriet Hendricks, House Fiscal.
David Sullivan with DFL Research.
Ben Weeks, House Research.
Kim Norton, sorry. I'm representing Rochester and serving the House.
Jim Neuberger, Representative Central Minnesota.
Representative Joe Hoffey from Chaska.
Bob Gunther Fairmont.
Laura Larson, Committee Administrator to the Greater Minnesota Committee.
Jonathan Fortner, Committee Legislative Assistant to the Job Growth and Energy Affordability Committee.
Bill Galan, Republican Research.
Harry Kennedy, Committee Administrator for the Job Growth and Energy Affordability Committee.
Representative Pat Garofalo.
Okay. No applause necessary. So, okay. So, my only plan today is just to go through side by side comparisons. I don't know, Ms. Newman. Do you want to join Mr. Mueller at the table up here, and or no? Who is going to be okay? And then.
Senator, I do think.
Go ahead.
I just think it's important to point out that from the House's perspective. The Tomasoni and Garofalo families can do business.
Question is, who's the godfather? But anyway.
Now the question is, who's afraid of?
never go against the family.
So who wants to start out and just point us to where you are in the side-by-side comparisons, and then we'll follow along. And if you have questions as we're going through, members, I'm fine with you taking questions as we go through, just to have anything explained that you don't understand, and we'll see how this goes. Mr. Mueller, you want to start out?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, I'm Dan Mueller. I'm the fiscal analyst for the Senate Economic Development and Ag and Environment Committee. We'll be working off the spreadsheet that in your folders up there and should have been handed out behind us. It is titled Economic Development, Housing and Energy Budget, House and Senate Comparison. The way the spreadsheet works, we have the House in two columns, both the fiscal year 16 and 17, 18 and 19, then the Senate two columns, then they got change versus the base. There's a general fund summary at the top, the easiest way to probably, I think, start off would be working off those House versus base columns and the Senate versus base columns, the House 1617 versus base and the Senate 1617 versus base. Some general fund summaries. I'll go through the Senate ones first, and Henrietta can go through the House. On the Senate side, lines 3 through 16 give the general fund changes by agency. The Senate spends just over 50 million new dollars in the Department of Economic Development, about 16 million in Minnesota housing. The rest of them are pretty small. Department of Commerce, we're about 16.4 million. So for a total of direct appropriations general fund, the Senate spends close to $86 million of general fund dollars. And then you'll notice in the tails, that goes down to 21. So much of that money is one time.
Again, my name is Harriet Hendricks from House Fiscal. And I staff the Job Growth and Energy Affordability Policy and Finance Committee. So on the House side, the reductions are for DEED a little over $8 million for fiscal year 16 and 17, $10.5 million for Minnesota Housing, and then again some smaller amounts for Explore Minnesota, a $2.8 million increase. Going down to the Department of Commerce on line 12, you'll also see a fiscal year 15 appropriation. This one is, we'll get to that later, but for the propane pre-purchase program, the Senate also has those, but the House appropriates the money in fiscal 15 and 16 rather than 16 and 17. So that's the amount that you see there. So for a total reduction from base, $9.1 million on line 16.
Mr. Chairman, on the next, we'll quickly go through some of the general fund revenues that help us tie out to our target. On the Senate side, on line 27, the Senate takes a one-time transfer of $7 million from the unemployment insurance contingent account. This is a transfer that has been done in previous years at different amounts.
On line 28, the House cancel or transfers a appropriation from last year of $1.363 million to the Department of Labor and Industry, and that is transferred back to the general fund. Then there's also a cancellation of $400,000 of 2012 flood relief money from Minnesota Housing that was still there unencumbered and unspent. Going down, there is the bill repeals the gold bullion dealers regulation in commerce, and that leads to a reduction in some fees, about $30,000 for the biennium. There is a transfer that is currently in statute under commerce that goes from the auto theft prevention account into the general fund, and that is canceled, and that transfer of $1.3 million each year is now going into the insurance fraud prevention account.
Mr. Chairman, the next item, both sides have a similar program that would prepay some money for the propane purchase program, and we account for it a little bit differently. The Senate does it for 2 years and relies on some federal LIHEAP funding to come back to reimburse. The House does it also, but in different fiscal years. So about $10 million of the Senate revenue is actually revenue just coming back on that. We have a couple other small fee items, debt collectors regulation and securities unit based funding. And then on lines 40 and 41 are two assessments that were in the governor's bill that the Senate has in their bill. So total general fund revenues on the Senate side are about $19 million, but again, $10 million of that is from the repayment of the LIHEAP money. So about $9 million of it is really new revenue to the bill.
Mr. Chair, I should probably point out that under Commerce, on line 33 and another under PUC on line 38, a reduction in regulatory assessment, and this is as a result of the VOIP deregulation that is in the bill.
Mr. Chairman, on the bottom of the spreadsheet are some of the other direct appropriations totals from the bill. Again, we did the went through the general fund already, but you'll see on line 53 the difference in workforce development funding in the bill. The House appropriates about $23 million new in workforce development fund, and the Senate's at about 16.8. The next little bit difference in workers' compensation fund, the House is at $10 million in new money, Senate's at 7.2, and then the last one is the that's about it there. It's about special revenue fund. The House has a large increase in the special revenue fund appropriations of $69 million. Senate's at even on that. So turn over to the next page. We start off with some of the details of the Department of Economic Development. The first lines are all sort of the base.
Mr. Mueller, maybe you can say the lines we're on so it'll be easier for people to follow.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, the first lines, like lines 88 through 103, are all the base funding for the business and community development portion of the Department of Economic Development. So those are all the base, and what we'll go through is the change items and the differences in the change items. The first one is line 105. This was a proposal that was in the governor's bill that it's carried on both sides. It's a sort of codifying the Greater Minnesota Expansion Program fee of $210,000 per year. That's was in the governor's bill. The next items here deal with the Minnesota Investment Fund. I'll go through the Senate changes. The Senate moves some money from the second year to the first year and then specifies a number of projects. And then we reduce the tails by $1.5 million per year. The specific projects on both sides are a loan to an aircraft facility. The Senate has $4 million. The House has $2. The House has $2 million for broadband infrastructure within MIF. The Senate has $12 million for a biochemical processing facility. And then the Senate also has, in the second year, $1 million for a Delano solid waste facility. The next one on the Senate side is the Tower Harbor project, $350,000. And on line 112 is $1 million for the Duluth Airport runway reconstruction. So those are specific projects that were listed under MIF, the Minnesota Investment Fund. The next one, line 113, is the Job Creation Fund. The House has a $5 million one-time reduction to that program, and the Senate keeps the fiscal year 16 and 17 funding the same at base level but reduces the tails.
From lines 114 to 116 is the elimination of the current base appropriations to the Minnesota Film Board and TV Board. On line 117, the Host Community Economic Development Program, really in the base for 875, and the House language removes that appropriation. Then there's new money to Enterprise Minnesota of $2 million each year. $2 million for the biennium, $1 million for each year. The Center for Rural and Policy Development, $300,000 for the biennium, line 119. Going down to line 120, this is a provision that both the Senate and the House have, but at different amounts. The House appropriates $5 million for the biennium, and the Senate appropriates $4 million for the biennium. On line 121, that's a House provision only for the South and Southwest Minnesota Initiative Foundation's collaborative pilot project of $400,000. Then the Greater Minnesota BDPI grant program at $2.25 million for the biennium and tails of $4 million. $173,000 for the Innovative Voucher Pilot Program, line 123.
Mr. Chairman, back up onto the Minnesota Film and TV Board. On the Senate side, the Senate put an additional $10 million, that's on line 116, of one-time funding into the Minnesota Film Board for the job creation program. Don, continuing on with other Senate changes, on line 124, the Business Development Competitive Grant Program, the Senate added $3 million per year to that program, and sort of as opposed to naming some other separate grantees, the Senate put more money into the Competitive Grant Program. And then we have this $500,000 per year additional money for the Small Business Development Centers, $600,000 for a grant to the City of the Second Class. There's another $35,000 grant to the City of Delano, and then $255,000 for neighborhood development centers. So for the, well, there's a couple of the House.
And then there's two more items on the House from the Workforce Development Fund, Small Business Development Center, and the Neighborhood Development Center.
So, Mr. Chairman, that is it for the business and community development. Next page, we start the Workforce Development Division of DEED. The first line items are tied to a governor's proposal that neither the House or the Senate has in their
Mr.
bill.
Miller, let's just go back. So what's the totals difference in those in that last page? Is it on line 140?
Mr. Chairman, yeah, lines 135 through 140 are the totals for that division. The Senate spends, if you look up on line 135, it's about $22.7 million of new general fund money. And the House is at a reduction of 7.3, but they spend about 1.3 of Workforce Development Fund money in that division. That's on line 137.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, on to the adult workforce area. Again, the governor had proposed realigning some grant programs to a new Pathways to Prosperity program, and the House or the Senate did not go along with that, so that's why there's some blank lines up on top. The Senate on line 161, again, put some additional money into the competitive grant program, the Adult Workforce Competitive Grant, of $4 million per year out of the Workforce Development Fund.
Mr. Chair, and then the next two lines are also related to the change that the Senate, the governor had proposed that neither the House and the Senate have accepted. And then on line 164, there's $1 million for job training grants. Then there is a reduction in general fund spending in adult workforce development grant, competitive grant program, but this money is moved to the Workforce Development Fund, so you'll find that later on. There is the labor market information requirements that is removed from the base at $1 million for the biennium. And then there is a new item for I think this is a typo. I think it has to be another item here for $250,000. So when we get to the bill and the rider language, I'll clarify that. The Career and Higher Education Advising Programs at $250,000 each year.
Mr. Chairman, the next lines 169 through 175 are Senate-only items that use general fund money. We have on line 169, $150,000 for the paid family leave report, $500,000 one-time, and these are all mostly one-time appropriations for some getting to work grants. This is we can go through the language of that in the bill. The Eastside Enterprise Center for $500,000, the Ujamaa Place internship for $150,000, the Historical Preservation Court, $500,000. The Occupational Development Court, $250,000 per year. And the YWCA St. Paul for $400,000. And then we also have an ongoing program for career counseling coordinators that's paid for out of the general fund with $500,000 per year.
Mr. Chair, then on line 177, this is the Adult Workforce Development Competitive Grant Program where the funding is moved from the general fund to the Workforce Development Fund. New money to the Minnesota High Tech Association SciTech program of $2 million for the biennium. Resource Inc. at $1 million for the biennium. And then $280,000, and I should mention this is all Workforce Development Funds starting on line 177 to the St. Cloud Area Somali Salvation Organization. Then there is a change in the appropriation to the OYCs, not for the in the current or the next biennium in 16-17. There's two additional appropriations to the St. Paul Indian or the St. Paul OIC and the Bemidji OIC. But then this is also made into a one-time appropriation, hence the reduction of $1 million in the TAILS. The Boys and Girls Club, an additional $200,000, and also made one time. And Big Brothers and Big Sisters, an additional $250,000, and also made one time. Then there's a program, the Workforce Program Outcome Reporting Requirements and Expansion of Current Activities, $200,000 from the Workforce Development Fund, and then $2 million from the Workforce Development Fund for Adult Workforce Employment and Training Activities. The YWCA that the Senate funds from the general fund is Workforce Development Fund in the House. Urban Challenge Grants at $700,000. And then now I'm on line 190. Twin Cities Rise, $900,000 for the biennium. $800,000 for customized training program. $250,000 for a foreign trained healthcare professional grant. And then $200,000 for the UMA project.
Mr. Chairman, back up onto the Big Brothers and Big Sisters. On the Senate side, we also provide an extra $125,000 per year, but we make that increase ongoing as opposed to what the House did, is made it one time and then decreasing the funding in the out years. On the Senate side, on line 194, there's an additional $1 million per year for the Workforce Development Fund for the Minnesota Youth Program. The Minnesota Diversified Industries has a $250,000 per year increase, again from the Workforce Development Fund. And then the Emerging Workforce Coalition, which is a group of OICs, has a $1 million increase, and that's ongoing from the Workforce Development Fund. So if you look at total changes to the funds in this budget area, the Senate spends about $3.7 million new money of general fund dollars and about $12.75 million of Workforce Development Fund money in this area. And the House is at a negative, just over a negative $1 million of general fund and an increase of Workforce Development Fund of 11.675. The next area of deed is the general support services. Again, lines 205 to 207 are the base numbers for this portion of deed. The change items, the first two on line 211 and 212 were governor's proposals that the Senate has picked up. The Olmstead Implementation Office increasing their funding by $425,000 per year, at least in 16 and 17, and that amount goes down in the tails a little bit. And then the Senate, throughout the different agencies, has funded an operational increase of 1.8%. That was across most of the agencies in the governor's budget. And the Senate has funded these. And in this portion of deed, it's $577,000 for the biennium.
And Mr. Chair, where you'll see an operating adjustment of 1.8%, you often see an operating adjustment of minus 5% on the House side. I think, and on the House side, on lines 214, there is the base funding for the cost of living study is not in the House bill, and then there is a public power authority study that is funded from the new energy fund account, so from the special revenue fund.
Mr. Chairman, on the next page is again another operating adjustment of 1.8, and this is from the Workforce Development Fund, so that's $26,000. On line 21 is sort of the expenditure side of the, this is the $7 million that the Senate transferred out of the unemployment contingent account. And the way it works in the accounting system, that revenues are always tied to an expenditure, so we had to show this as a reduced expenditure then also to deed. And this would be available possibly for things like data systems improvements and things like that. So total change items on the Senate side, we have about $1.4 million of general fund increase, $26,000 of Workforce Development Fund, and then the reduction there for the unemployment contingent account. And the House has about a $1.3 million general fund reduction. The next area is the Minnesota Trade Office, and it looks like those are all House changes.
So on lines 234 and 235, the House language does not fund the Minnesota Trade Office expansion, foreign markets, and the Trade Policy Advisory Group. So for a total on line 237 for the Minnesota Trade Office, there's a reduction on the House side of $640,000 for the biennium.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the Senate made no changes to that portion of the deed budget. Next is the area of vocational rehabilitation. Again, lines 239 through 243 are all the base appropriations numbers for the, this part of the deed. The change items, starting with the Senate, as the Senate has on line 247 is additional $1 million per year from the general fund for placement services. We have a Senate has a one-time $1 million appropriation for assistive technology grants, and then an increase of $692,000 per year on line 249 for Centers for Independent Living. And then another one-time appropriation on line 250 for Olmstead training grants. This is for $750,000.
And then on lines, Mr. Chair, on lines 252, the House moves about half of the appropriation for extended employment from the general fund to the Workforce Development Fund, and then add some new money to the extended employment. So on lines 252, that's where members will see the reduction in general fund appropriation, and in line 253, the increase in funding from the Workforce Development Fund. And then on line 254, a provision, an appropriation that is both carried by the House and the Senate at different appropriation levels, $2 million from the Workforce Development Fund in the House bill for employment support services for deaf, deafblind, hard of hearing. And I should say, and the Senate has $1.35 million for the biennium. And then the totals for total for vocational rehabilitation, starting on line 257 to line 259, the House reduces general fund appropriation by about $5.7 million, but increases Workforce Development Fund funding by about $10 million, whereas the Senate increases by $5.1 million in general fund appropriations and $2.9 million in Workforce Development Fund appropriations.
Mr. Chairman, under services for the blind, both the House and the Senate have no changes to the base funding. The next area is broadband development, and the changes there on line 267. The Senate has $17 million one time for broadband in this area, and the House has $8 million. After that, you get to the totals for deed are on the bottom of the page, lines 276 through 286. Again, I'll highlight the big ones. The Senate spends about $50 million in deed one time, or much of that one time of general fund dollars, and about $15 million of Workforce Development Fund. And those are the big changes on the Senate side.
Mr. Chair, on the House side, there's an $8.1 million reduction in general fund appropriations to deed, and about a $23 million increase in the Workforce Development Fund, which is about half of that in the tails.
Mr. Chairman, the next agency is Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, starting on page 5. The first portion of the agency is a development redevelopment. On line 290 is the base amount of that portion of the Housing Finance Agency. The Senate picked up most of the governor's proposal on line 298, which is $8 million one time for a housing growth initiative program, and that's a one time. And also, the Senate increased the Housing Challenge program by $1 million for the biennium, and that was also one time.
And the House on line 294 reduces the appropriation to the challenge program by $5 million, and that $5 million is then appropriated indeed to for workforce housing program, and then it also has carve-outs in the bill language. And when we get to the writers, we'll go over those in more detail.
Under prevent and end homelessness, again, all the base programs are listed on line 303 through 308. The change items, starting with the Senate, line 315 increases the Bridges program by $1.25 million per year. The next items, the Senate incorporated some of the governor's changes. The governor was proposing to move some small funding areas around line items and reallocating them to other areas within the agency. So those changes on line 316, 317, 318 are all proposed in the governor's budget in 319. This is the Voices of East African Women, the Housing Trust Fund reallocation, and open access grants and home line. So these were reallocations within the agency budgets. Then the Senate on line 320 has picked up another governor's supplemental budget initiative. It was $2 million one time for rental assistance for highly mobile students.
And then starting on line 321, the House reduces the appropriation to the Housing Trust Fund, keeps it at 14-15 levels rather than an increase in the base for in 16 and 17. The same is for on line 322 for the Family Homeless Prevention Assistance, a decrease to match the levels of 14-15 funding rather than 16-17. And whereas the Senate reallocated the grants starting on line 323, 325, the House does not reallocate them but does not fund them either.
Now, Mr. Chairman, on line 326 is a one-time increase for Family Homeless Prevention Assistance of $1.5 million for the biennium. The Senate specifies on line 327 part of that money, $500,000 of that, is for a grant to the Better Futures of Minnesota. So the total change items on the Senate side, these are all general fund then total, is a $5.46 million increase to this area, and the House has a $4.6 million decrease. The next area is homeownership assistance.
On line 33, the House again reduces the appropriation to match it to 14-15 levels for the homeownership assistance fund. That is also true for the next area, preservation. For on line 342, there's a reduction in the rental or the rehabilitation program for rental housing. This is a $1.2 million reduction, also to match it to 14-15 funding levels rather than the base of 16-17.
And on the Senate side, the Senate has a one-time increase of $500,000 for the Housing Rehabilitation Program. So the total changes on the Senate side are $500,000 increase general fund, and the House has a $1.2 million decrease. Under resident and organization support, this is where the Senate picks up some of the governor's changes. On line 352, $125,000 per year for the homeless management information system, and then moving some money to the capacity building grants of $270,000 per year. Those two change items are just reallocations within the Housing Finance Agency.
And then, Mr. Chair, on line 354, a reduction again to match fiscal year 14-15 levels to the homeownership education counseling and training program of a reduction of $132,000, and then a new grant program for rental assistance to at-risk women and children of $500,000 for the biennium.
Mr. Chairman and members, on line 356 on the Senate side, Senate funds a new home pilot capacity grants. This is tied to the home pilot program that was put in place a year or two ago. This is $250,000 per year ongoing. And then a one-time or one biennium only grants for open access connections, $85,000 per year for the biennium only. So I guess we could, the totals for the Housing Finance Agency are on the top of the next page, very top line, 360. The Senate is at a $16.4 million increase, and the House is at about a $10.5 million decrease from the base. Next, we have Explore Minnesota Tourism on lines 363 through 366 are the base lines, base funding lines. The Senate on line 372 picks up the governor's proposal for the operational adjustment of 1.8%. That results in a $195,000 increase. And then I'll just quick go down to the other Senate item, which is the Senate has a specified amount of the existing funding for $200,000 for promotion of the Minnesota Golden Games.
On the House side, on line 373, the funding for the Northern Lights International Music Festival is not in the House bill. Then there is an increase in the base for Explore Minnesota Tourism of $3 million for the House, in the House bill. And then there's a carve-out, and that $30,000 for carve-out, I see now that it's listed under the Minnesota Golden Games promotion, but that is for, on the House side, for Relax Lake Tourism promotion. So on line 376, that $30,000 should be moved up to line 375, the $30,000 one-time carve-out. So that means for the Minnesota Explore Minnesota Tourism, the totals on 378, line 378, that the House increases general fund appropriations by $2.8 million for the biennium, and the Senate by $195,000.
Mr. Chairman, members, under Department of Labor and Industry, the first part of that is workers' compensation. The difference here on line 387 was a request by the agency for some updated of IT system. The Senate is at $3 million per year, and the House is at $4 million the first year and $6 million the second year. There's a difference of about $4 million there. The next area is a proposal that was in the governor under construction codes and services. This is a proposal that was in the governor's initiative, sort of a one-time decrease in some of these fees, and the Senate and the House both are carrying that one-time decrease. Under labor standards and apprenticeships, the first change item on line 411, again, is the Senate adopting the 1.8% operational increase.
And Mr. Chair, on the House side, you'll see the operating adjustment of minus 5%. Right below that on line 413 is about $800,000 to company standards identification. And line 414, this is an appropriation that would go into effect with to enforce the two-tiered minimum wage of $168,000 for the biennium.
Mr. Chairman and members, I want to note on line 1413, those competency standards, the Senate is carrying some similar money in the Senate higher education bill from Senator Bonner for that same line item that we'll have to figure that out down the road where that will be carried. Mr. Chairman, on the Senate only items, on 415 is general fund money for a compliance report of $100,000. Increase to the apprenticeship base unit, $500,000, workforce development fund. Again, another operating adjustment of $42,000. That's from the workforce development fund. And we got two other Senate only provisions, grants to community organizations. This was $200,000. And enforcement of labor standards, another $500,000 from the Workforce Development Fund. So total funding changes for this part of labor and industry, the Senate is at small increase to general fund of $154,000 and about $1.2 million of Workforce Development Fund.
And the House, Mr. Chair, is at $876,000 increase in general fund and no increase in workforce development fund funding to Department of Labor and Industry. Neither the House nor the Senate have any changes in workforce safety on line 525, and then going down to line 428 and under general support, both the House and the Senate have adopted governor's recommendation to adjust the fees for combative sports, and that leads in to a reduction in expenditure to from the special revenue fund, and that's a statutory appropriation. And then on lines 436 to 445 are the totals for the Department of Labor and Industry. Under the general fund, on line 436, both the House and the Senate have small increases of almost $900,000 for the House and $150,000 for the Senate, and then the same with the Workforce Development Fund, no increases there for the House, and $1.2 million on the Senate side. And I think we kind of went through all of these change items and kind of line up pretty neatly with the ones that we've already discussed.
Mr. Chairman, next on to the next agency, Bureau of Mediation Services. Again, on the first lines are all the base funding. The change items start on line 456. The Senate has $350,000 general fund for case management database improvements, and also an operating adjustment of $135,000. And then the Senate actually has an increase to the Public Employee Labor Relations Board of $400,000 per year.
Mm-hmm. Starting on line 460, the House provisions with an operating adjustment of minus 5%, and then no funding for the Public Employment Labor Relations Board and for the Office of Collaboration and Dispute Resolution. That brings the totals for the Bureau of Mediation Services on line 466 to a decrease in general fund spending on the House side of $900,000 and an increase on the Senate side of almost $1.3 million.
Mr. Chairman, the next agency is Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals. The House has no changes to the base funding for this agency. The Senate, again, does a compensation adjustment of about $324,000, and also another request that they had for $90,000 for some of their retirement costs. And that was all proposed in the governor's budget. So there's an increase of a little over $400,000 from the Workers' Compensation Fund for the Court of Appeals. The next agency is the IRRRB, and all those funding items are all open in statutory funding areas, and there's no changes proposed to any of those funds. Next, we have the Department of Commerce. There's no change under financial institutions. Under Petroleum Tank Compensation Board, the on line 499, the governor had a proposed change in some of the language that would allow the eligibility of how the money can be spent, and that would increase spending by $200,000 per year for the biennium from the petroleum tank cleanup fund. Next on page 8. We are in the administrative services part of commerce. Again, the Senate picked up the operating adjustment. The general fund cost of that is 378, or is 1.14 million for the biennium.
And then, Mr. Chair, on the House side, there is the operating adjustment of minus 5% on line 511. And then there is a one-time appropriation of $500,000 for a contract to a vendor who would seek out abandoned owners of some abandoned property as a pay-for-performance contract.
And then, Mr. Chairman, under on line 513, the Senate appropriates $130,000 for some rulemaking costs under the proposal for the new MinVest program. It establishes in this program, and there's some rulemaking costs for that.
And Mr. Chair, I should point out that the House has this appropriation as well, but down under enforcement on line 541, there's both for rulemaking, but then also some ongoing costs that are funded for administration of this program.
Mr. Chairman, under telecommunications, both the House and the Senate reallocated some money of the existing TAM fund appropriations for deaf and hard of hearing, moving some of the money from the LCC over to Department of Admin, MNET. So these are grants. That's $50,000 per year, and that's in both the House and the Senate.
And then, Mr. Chair, on line 525, you'll find the reduction in telecommunications base as a result of the VOIP deregulation. It reduces the assessment cap, so there is both a reduction in revenue, general fund revenue that I pointed out earlier, and here a reduction in expenditures under commerce as well in the same amount. And then the totals for telecommunications from line 528 to 531, the House reduces the appropriations by a little over $800,000, and the Senate has no change except for moving some money to a different agency.
Mr. Chairman, under enforcement, the Senate change items on line 538 were requested in the governor's budget. $279,000 per year for health care enforcement funding, and then a securities unit funding increase of $485,000 per year.
And then on line 540, the House language repeals the gold bullion dealers regulation and also removes the appropriation for that purpose, and that was an appropriation of about $1.3 million for the biennium. And then this is on line 541. You'll find the MinVest appropriation that Mr. Mueller discussed earlier.
Mr. Chairman, the Senate has some language in its bill establishing a new debt collectors regulation program, and that money is it's spent $321,000 per year. There's also a fee later on that captures some money to for that purpose. The next item is the last one there on line 545 as part of the operating adjustment tied to the workers' compensation fund of $9,000 per year. So the total changes in enforcement is on the Senate side has about general fund, a little over $2 million increase and a small change in the workers' compensation fund. The House has a little over a $1 million general fund decrease. Under energy resources, the Senate side on line 560 was a governor's request of $1 million for the defense of the Next Gen Energy Act. That's a one-time $1 million appropriation. The Senate also, the next two items were in the governor's proposals. Line 563 and 564, These are tied to increase continuing assessments also. One is for the self-funding for the Guaranteed Energy Savings Program and the Renew Energy and Planning Systems Assessments. Again, those two lines, 563 and 564, are tied to assessments.
Then on line 564, 565, in fiscal 15, there is a cancellation of unspent monies to the low-income valorization program that structured the general fund and then appropriated to the newly created energy fund account. So that $61,000 you will also find on line 568. On line 566, the low-income valorization program is not funded in the House bill. And then on line 567, there's a general fund appropriation of $7 million for the biennium to the energy fund account, a newly created fund in account in the special revenue fund. On line 569 and further down, you'll find appropriations made from this new energy fund account, starting with the Energy Technology Business Accelerator, $800,000, and then a $10 million appropriation from this energy account to electric vehicle rebate program, $12 million to a rebate program for compressed natural gas and propane vehicles, and then $45 million for distributive generation incentive payments. And many of these are currently funded out of the Renewable Development Fund that is currently located at Excel. Then there is a weatherization assistance for households using propane, reallocation of money that is currently going to solar panels that is now to households for using propane for $300,000. Then there is language in the House bill that repeals parts of the SIP, and with that, there's also a repeal of assessments that happen. So these you will find also under non-general fund revenue changes and also under expenditures starting in fiscal year 17. There's a couple of items, 574, SIP technical assistance. Then there is current unspent money in the MIM Solar Energy Production Incentive Payments account from the MIM Solar account. That money is transferred to the new energy fund account. Then on line 576, this is a new language in the House bill that ensures that existing enrollees in this program, in the MIM Solar Energy Production Incentive Payment Program, are paid now out of the new energy fund account. So that's estimated to be about $5.7 million each year. And then starting on line 577, this is again the repeal of some assessment power, that authority that Commerce has for R&D grants, and so that is repealed starting in fiscal year 17. The same with the line 578, repeal of assessment for facilities energy efficiency. The Legislative Energy Commission budget it also comes from assessment, and that assessment is reduced by $100,000 each year. So the budget for the Legislative Energy Commission is also reduced by $100,000 each year. And then $300,000 from the MIM Solar Rebate Program is then transferred to the program for energy efficiency for propane users. So that brings us to totals for energy resources on lines 584 through 587, where the general fund appropriations under the House have a $6.8 million increase, and whereas the Senate has a $1 million increase. Under the special revenue fund, the House has a $68.1 million increase, and again, those are mostly funds that come out of the new energy fund account, and the Senate has no changes there.
Mr. Chairman, under insurance, the change items on the Senate side, starting on line 593, these were was in the governor's budget $642,000 per year for health insurance rate review. Investigation of insurance fraud was there's an additional $300,000 per year on the Senate side, general fund. And then there's a one-time money for the no-fault auto insurance task force, $91,000 per year. The Senate has a sort of a carve-out of the existing money that goes to Commerce out of the auto theft prevention account, $100,000 per year. And this specifies that some of that money must be used for investigation of auto insurance companies. And then on line 598 is the operating adjustment from the workers' comp fund that goes to the Department of Commerce. You see total change items under the Senate general fund. Senate spends about $1.975 million per year additional money. The House has no change. So that's it. The last item we'll point out here is on line 607 is where we're tracking the propane pre-purchase program. This is where both the House and the Senate basically expend $5 million per year of general fund money to help with the propane pre-purchase program, and then this would get reimbursed later under the federal LIHEAP funding. And we just, between the House and Senate, count in different fiscal years, but it's a pretty similar setup on both sides. The next ones, you'll see the totals for the Department of Commerce. I'll point out just a couple of the big ones. General funds on line 611. The Senate is at $16.4 million. The House is about half of that, $18.2 million. This House, again, spends $68 million, a special revenue fund. Most of that is from the RDF fund. And then the other change is just some assessments, some small assessments. So, and we'll point out those when we go through the revenue side of things. Under Public Utilities Commission, the Senate on line 628 and 629 pick up the increases that were requested in the governor's budget. So that's about $1.4 million per year. And these are recaptured back in the increased assessed cost.
Then, Mr. Chair, on lines 630 and 631, you see two House items reductions. First, the operating adjustment of minus 5%, and then again a reduction in the telecommunications base, which is again a result of the language on the VOIP deregulation and a reduction in the assessment cap. And that brings to the totals for PUC from lines 633 to 635. Very similar to what we just explained. Then there is starting line 636, the Public Facilities Authority. There's no changes there. There's also no changes either in the House or Senate side for the DMC, Destination Medical Center. That is an open general fund appropriation. And then the House has two more provisions to the Department of Administration for a study to transfer to study the possible transfer of functions from Commerce to DHS for energy resources, and that is a $92,000 appropriation from the new energy fund account. And then there's also an appropriation to the PCA, the Pollution Control Agency, on line 647, and that is to fund the legislative approval for a state plan for 111D. And that appropriation is from the new energy fund account in the special revenue fund. Going on to the list of non-general fund revenue, the first item under deed is a result of a reduction in the assessment. The current assessment rate is 0.1% for workforce development fund. The House language changes that to 0.08%. And that starts in fiscal year 18. So fiscal year 18 and 19 see a reduction in the Workforce Development Fund of about $23.8 million. Then both the House and the Senate accepted language from the governor's bill that clarifies this Greater Minnesota Job Expansion Program fee. You also saw that under expenditures under deed. And then there's the a fee under deed for job training grants that would be deposited in the special revenue fund. There's both the House and the Senate have language that reduces construction code licensing fees. Here you see the reduction in revenue that that would have as a result, as well as the on line 659, the reduction in the combative sports fees.
Mr. Chairman, on the Senate side, there are two assessments that the Senate picked up. These are tied to increased expenditures, and these were in the governor's bill. On line 661 is the assessment for a guaranteed energy savings program in Commerce, and also the another assessment increase on line 663 for another energy program.
And then on line 667, that is tied to the language where currently in statute there is a $1.3 million transfer from the automobile theft prevention account into the general fund, and that is changed, and that money is no longer going into the general fund, but it's now going into the insurance fraud prevention account. So that's that $1.3 million each year. And then there is, from starting on line 668, down to line 670, there's the repeal of some of these assessments that Commerce has, the assessment authority, where we saw already in the reduction in these expenditures, but also a reduction in the revenue coming into the special revenue fund for SIP technical assistance, R&D grants, and facilities energy efficiency. And then the reduction in the LEC's budget and the assessment authority Commerce has to fund this budget of $100,000 for each year. So that makes for a total of non-general fund revenue changes on lines 672 of about $2.7 million reduction in on the House and about a $750,000 reduction in the Senate.
Well, Mr. Chairman and members, under non-general fund transfers and cancellations, there's three items here on the Senate. First is line 675. Again, this is a transfer from the unemployment contingent account. As I pointed out earlier, is money that's going one time into the general fund, $3.5 million per year. The Senate is directing $8 million from the Minerals 21st Century Fund for a biofuels facility. And then the last item here on line 677, the Senate is canceling $6 million of Workforce Development Fund money back to the Workforce Development Fund. This was surplus money that was redirected by the Job Skills Partnership Board this last March when a surplus in the fund was observed, and the Senate is canceling that. There was actually a $12 million surplus that was reallocated, and the Senate is canceling half of that back to the fund.
And then, Mr. Chair, starting on line 678, this is where you'll see the revenue coming into the new energy fund account that is created in the House bill, so that currently there's a revenue coming in from nuclear storage cash payments from Xcel. Currently that goes into an account that is located at Xcel. The House bill, the House language would bring that into the state budgeting system and makes it into a new energy fund account. So there's all these items from 679 down to 686 are the activities that are going on in this new energy fund account. Maybe the biggest one is the on line 680. There you see the payments from Xcel. The MIM Solar Energy Production Incentive Account, that is moved over to the Energy Fund as well, so that currently the money that is in that account is transferred to the Energy Fund account. And then there's the general fund deposits, and that brings us to a total of non-general fund transfer cancellations of almost $56 million on the House side and a $5 million reduction on the Senate side. And then finally, on line 689, there's an item on the House side, and that is a both tax reduction or tax credits in the House language for the unemployment insurance tax, and that leads to a reduction in the UI trust fund, which is at the federal government. So it's not a state account. state fund, that it leads to a $430,000 reduction in that fund in 16-17 and a fixed $56,000 that $56,000 $56 million.
There you go.
Yes, there we go. I'm sorry. $430 million, a lot more. $430 million reduction in 16-17 and a $56 million increase in 18-19 for his stumble on the very last line.
Kind of like in church at the 45-minute mark, all the little kids start crying. Well, that wasn't so bad. So we should be able to resolve this, I would think. So, are there any questions on the spreadsheet from members? Okay, then I don't think we'll do any kind of testimony right now on the spreadsheet. What we'll do is we'll go to the language. And who, are you all going to handle the language? Or?
Mr. Chairman, Henriette and I will both go through the riders in Article 1, and then we'll switch it over to the other staff, legal staff, to go through some of the language in the bill. So we'll quickly go through the riders. We won't try to repeat anything we did going through the spreadsheet. We won't talk about the numbers much. We'll just point out where there's differences in maybe some of the rider language or there's some new language. So we're going to be working off Article 1, which should be on the of the side-by-side language. This is the appropriation article that lists all the appropriation summaries and things like that. So page R1 on the House side has a total appropriations in the bill listed there. The Senate did not carry those totals this year. On page R2, again, are some summary appropriations. I won't go into detail on that. Those are all covered in the spreadsheet. Page R3 is the totals for business and community development. The first lines on line 3.20 for the House and 119.15 on the Senate, these are the specific amounts under the Minnesota Investment Fund. Again, the Senate listed a number of projects under that. Those start on page R4. Top of R4, the House also has the aircraft manufacturing facility, $2 million. And the Senate carries $4 million for a similar project.
Mr. Chair, on page R4, lines 4.9, is the carve-out for grants to cities, for broadband grants to cities that have frequent outages in their services.
Mr. Chairman, on to page R5 on the Senate side. This is the $12 million for a biochemical facility, and this would require some matching money from the IRRRB. The fourth item on the Senate side is a $1 million grant to the city of Delano. On the next page, R6, the fifth item is the grant for the Harbor at Tower project, and the sixth item on the Senate side is the language for the Duluth Airport runway reconstruction. The next item are both, the rest of the page are pretty similar riders for base funding programs. The dollar amounts are different, but we already covered that in the spreadsheet. On page R7, I'll point out some new language on the Senate side for the Business Development Competitive Grant Program. The Senate, on a number of grant programs, put some language in, starting on line 122.5 on the Senate side, directing the commissioner to award grants to applicants that received grants in the previous biennium, either through the competitive program or that were specified in language. And then we also reduced the administrative amount from 3%. Or from 5% that's still in the House bill down to 3% in the Senate bill. And then on line 122.16, we specify that one of the businesses that can be eligible to receive one of the grants, which is a nonprofit-based program that does water technology research. The next item there is both a similar rider in both bills. The Senate on page R7 and R8 continues the riders for the Minnesota Film and TV Board. The House has eliminated those and eliminated the funding for it.
And then, Mr. Chair, on page R8 on line 6.1 is the appropriation to Enterprise Minnesota, and $750,000 of that each year is for the Small Business Growth Acceleration Program, and $250,000 each year for operations and admin costs. And then on line 6.8 on the House side, there's the appropriation to the Center for Rural Policy and Development. On page R9, the language is the same or similar for line 6.11 to 6.26 on the House side. And then there's the appropriation to the Initiative Foundations.
On page R10 on the Senate side is the appropriation language for the Small Business Development Centers. And then on the page on line 124.11 is the language for the grant for the City of Second Class.
And then on the House side on page R10, starting line 7.3, there's the appropriation to the Minnesota Business Development Public Infrastructure Grant Program, BPI. And then there's on page R11, appropriation to the Innovation Voucher Pilot Program, and the appropriation to the Regional Center for Entrepreneurial Facilitation for the Small Business Development Center hosted at Minnesota State University in Mankato.
Mr. Chairman and members, the two riders there starting on line 8.24 on the House side and 124.25 on the Senate are for similar programs. The Senate uses general fund dollars. The House uses workforce development fund. These are for the Neighborhood Development Center. Next, you see on the Senate side is the rider for the development grant for the City of Delano. And then the last item there on the Senate just specifies that programs funded under this division or area of deed are subject to the uniform outcome report card requirements that are laid out in statute.
And Mr. Chair, I should point out that the House also has language for this, but then in Article 2, Section 16, which can be found on page R18.
Mr. Chairman, we'll go down to the next page. This starts the workforce development riders. The programs on House line 9.5, starting there in the Senate 125.12. These are for the adult workforce competitive grants. Again, the Senate has the language specifying that previous grant award awardees shall be receive grants again, whether they are named specifically in law or were awarded a competitive grant. And again, the Senate changes the administrative amount from 5% to 3%. So similar again is the riders on the for the youth fund or workforce development fund for the youth program. The Senate has some additional language specifying how the money can be used for the Senate area, and then it specifies on line 131 through the end of the section there about how the money can be used for expanded services. Mr. Chairman, the next difference we'll see on page R14, and this is for the youth competitive grant program. Again, the Senate on line 126.20 through 127.2 specifies that previous grant award winners shall receive grants again if they apply, and then also again lowers the administrative amount from 5% to 3%. Next, you'll see similar language for the fast track program. The House has some language allowing up to 10% of the appropriation to be used for leadership and oversight.
And then, Mr. Chair, on page R15, both House and Senate have appropriation to the OICs, but the House then also has that two carve-outs for the OIC St. Paul and OIC in Bemidji. Then there's the appropriation language, which is very similar for the Boys and Girls Club. Going down on line 1031 on the House side and line 127.24 on the Senate side, this appropriation on the House side is split up in two, so 250 for the labor market information, and hence that is also that 250 for combined career and higher education advising. And here's where I'm thinking about that spreadsheet where we were thinking that might be a typo. That's here where we split out that appropriation in two, whereas the Senate just keeps it all in one appropriation. Going to page R16, there's the starting the appropriation to the Big Brothers Big Sisters, which is the same on the House and Senate side, except that the House has it as a one-time appropriation. And then the appropriation language for the Minnesota High Tech Association. And then on my on page R17.
Mr. Chairman, the starting on line 128.1 is the rider for the grant to the Occupation Development Corp.
And then on line 12.3, there's the House language for Resource Inc. and the appropriation from the Workforce Development Fund. And I'll say right down there on line 12.9, there's the appropriation from the Workforce Development Fund to the St. Cloud Area Somali Salvation Organization.
On the Senate side, on page R17, is the appropriation for the study of the family medical leave insurance benefits. There's some other language in the article two, I believe, that further specifies how that study shall be carried out.
Then on page R18, the House has an appropriation for uniform outcome report card requirements for deed. And then the Senate has an appropriation for career counseling coordinating positions. I should point out that the House has a separate bill, House File 809, that carries this language. Further down on line 12.27, there you'll find the appropriation for the job training grants.
On the Senate side, line 129.1 is the rider for the Eastside Enterprise Center, $500,000 per year, or first year.
On page R19, there's the appropriation for the workforce service areas, Representative Lean bill. And then further down, there's the appropriation to the YWCA, which the House has from the Workforce Development Fund.
On the Senate side, on page R19, the three riders there are all just specific riders for grants that were already listed on the spreadsheets.
Page R20, appropriation for Twin Cities Rise. And then the Senate has the appropriation for Getting to Work grant program, which the House has in House File 1425 by Representative Daniels. Then there's the rider language for the initiative, Urban Initiative Loan Program. And further down, the rider language for the grant for foreign trained healthcare professionals.
Again, on the Senate side, on page R20, it just says that the any grants or any programs funded under this are subject to that uniformed outcome report. And the House, again, has that covered with other language.
Page R21, at the bottom, line 14.33, there's the appropriation for the customized training programs. And then on lines 15.5, it specifies exactly what amounts go to which colleges. So three different colleges, three different colleges, that get this different amounts. And then on page R22, the appropriation on line 5.12 to the UMA project. with the rider language. That gets us to general support services. On page R23, House only has the Olmsted Implementation Office.
Mr. Chairman, the Senate funds the, which was a, another existing base rider for the cost of living study. The Senate keeps that rider and the funding for that on the Senate side.
And then on line 16.4, on page R23, is the Public Power Authority study that is funded from the Energy Fund account.
Mr. Chairman, and the next area is the Minnesota Trade Office. On the bottom page, R23, these are mostly base riders. The Senate does continue the for the expansion of the trade offices on line 130.19, and the House does not have that rider.
Mr. Mueller, just for a second. I think what we're going to do here, this is really getting tedious and boring, so we're going to go for about another half an hour, and that'll be as far as we go today, and then if we don't get done, which I'm not assuming we will, we'll continue tomorrow if Representative Garofalo so chooses to do so. So anyway, just so everybody knows, if you have anything to do, that we'll be done by 4 here, okay?
Mr. Chairman, page R24, the top of it is the rider that was for the Trade Policy Office group.
Mr. Mueller, that was no reflection on you, okay?
Thank you. I'm okay. Thanks.
And then on page R24, starting line 16.30, there's the appropriation to the extended employment services. The House has some extra additional language on the allocation of these funds and how they're to be awarded. Then on page R25, similar language for the first two appropriations on the House side.
Mr. Chairman, on the Senate side, page R25, line 131.24 is the rider for the grants to a nonprofit for issuing assistive technology. The next one is the rider for the Olmsted implementation grants that were in the spreadsheet. And then we also, on top page R26, specify that Minnesota Diversified Industries are eligible provider of services under, so they can be have access to some of the grant programs. Under services for the blind, the Senate carves out $50,000 per year for senior citizens who are becoming blind.
And then on line 1721, there's the language for the competitive grant limitations that the Senate carries somewhere else. Then starting with broadband development, the appropriation language is the same, except for availability and TILs differences, but then the Senate has adopted more rider language on administration costs and other provisions for collecting data on broadband.
Mr. Chairman, on page R28 at the top is the language that directs the $8 million transfer out of the Minerals 21st Century Fund for a biofuels project.
On housing, on lines 18.4 going down, there's the general appropriation language, but the House also has a provision under C that says that the Housing Finance Agency must make continuous improvements to reduce the gap between racial and ethnic gap in home ownership rates. Starting then with the challenge program, this is we're on page R29 at the top. The Senate still has the language on the Senate side on lines 134, 28, with the first $1.2 million or so each year shall be made available for housing projects for Indigenous American Indians. The House is not carrying the language of the carve-out. And then you'll find the on the House side, starting on lines 18.31, the carve-outs of the challenge program, where the first half of this the appropriation amount is for workforce housing in non-metropolitan areas. And other specifications in terms of how this money can be used going. I think I would point out that online on page R29, what the Senate has is the $8 million appropriation, but not with as many specifications of how this money can be awarded.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the Senate language here was reflective largely of the, for most of these housing programs, that was carried in the governor's bill. So I won't specify all of it here. I'll just point, hopefully people can see the areas where we have differences. On the Senate side, on line 135.1, direct some of the money to be for areas that have who have long commutes of more than 30 miles, include have to have a meaningful contribution from employers on line 135.15. And then on lines on page R31, providing household opportunity housing opportunities for expanded range of household of incomes within communities that provide housing opportunities.
And then to point out on page R30, the House also has a provision on starting on lines 19.21 that any remaining balance of the appropriation under this paragraph by July 1st, 2017 is transferred back to the general fund. Typically, funds of housing, Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, stay with the agency and don't cancel back. So this is specifying that. And then on starting on page R31 at the bottom, paragraph D, there's the division of the remaining half of the funding to the challenge program, $2.6 million for challenge program grants for projects outside of the metropolitan area. And then on page R32, $2.6 million for projects inside the metropolitan area. And then some additional language of priorities and other requirements for the agency. Then the Housing Trust Fund, starting at the bottom of page R32, and then going on to page R33, there's some new language that both the House and the Senate are carrying on lines 21.31 on the House side that says, to the extent that these funds are used for the acquisition of housing, the agency shall give priority to create stable housing for homeless youth or other such projects.
Mr. Chairman, on page R33 is the on line 136.5 for the Senate is the rider for the temporary rental assistance appropriation. The next change on R33, the Senate has some additional language on the rental assistance for the mentally ill. Just saying that on line 136.18 through 136.22, saying they shall prioritize proposals that target persons who desire to move to a more integrated community-based setting. The next rider there, the main difference is the Senate just establishes what the base should be in the out years. Page R34 is the rider that the Senate added to the bill as a carve-out for the grant to a Better Futures Minnesota. The next two appropriations there in the House and Senate, I believe the riders are pretty similar.
The same on page R35, the rider language is clearly similar, except that the Senate has some additional language on line 138.5 for priority for proposals. Then on page R36, I think it's the language is all similar. It's kind of differently divided up. The house on the house side, lines 2331, has a separate item for rental rehabilitation, whereas the Senate has that within their rider. The money that is for rental rehabilitation or rental housing. Then the next two were fairly similar with a carve out, I think, for on the capacity building grants.
Ms. Chairman, the Senate has listed a number of different carve-outs under the grants. The first is the homeless management information system on lines 139.14. On the next page, you'll see the competitive grants to community organizations to help long-term funding education and home buying. And then the line 139.24 is the rider for the open access connections.
And then on the bottom of page R37 on the House side, that's where the appropriation language and the rider starts for the competitive grant program for at-risk women and children. And then on page R39, lines 26.1 is the cancellation of remaining balance for 2012 flood relief money. Then the under Explore Minnesota Tourism, the rider language is very similar. Starting on page R40, there's the different carve-outs for MILAX Lake Tourism Promotion, whereas the Senate has the carve-out for the Minnesota Golden Games. And then on line 26.33, the House has some additional language to specify to how long the funds are available and where they should be deposited. That language is similar in the Senate side on lines 140.20, but again, the House side has kind of clarified some of that. Going on to Department of Labor and Industry, R40 and page R41. First, all the totals. And then the appropriation language for the workers' comp system upgrades, just a difference in amounts between the House and the Senate at the bottom of R41. Page R42, the House at the bottom has the specifies the $150,000 for the Child Labor Initiative, whereas the Senate does not. But there's no difference in the total amount. Page R43, similar language.
Mr. Chairman, the Senate on line 142.13 is the new program for the rider for the grants for community organizations that do outreach regarding employee rights. This was new on the spreadsheet. The House has the rider there for the general fund for wage enforcement. Similar riders next. And then at the bottom, the Senate has a rider there for a report to the legislature regarding list of violations of workforce wage violations.
And then on page R44, the House side, there's the appropriation language for the competency standards, which is in the higher ed bill on the Senate side, and then the minimum wage, the appropriation for implementation of the two-tiered minimum wage, and lines 29.3. Then totals for workforce place safety and general support are the same. Bureau of Mediation Services start at the bottom of page R44.
And on page R45, the first riders is the same. Then on the Senate side, we have three riders, and those are listed. These were mostly base riders that the Senate continued because the Senate continues the funding of that, and the House discontinues the funding of these riders for these specific purposes. Under Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals, there's no change. Department of Commerce, page R46. The House retains a rider for the on line 30.8 for the mortgage originators. That's the Senate just didn't specify that, but it's a base rider.
And on page R47. Kind of the same is true, but then the other way around, where the Senate has retained a rider for additional compliance efforts for unclaimed property. That amount is still appropriated in the House bill, but it just, there's no rider for it. But there is that additional rider for the appropriation for the pay-for-performance contract for a vendor who will facilitate with the return of abandoned property to owners.
Mr. Chairman, on page R47, line 145.5 is the one-time rider for the MinVest rulemaking, and again, the House has that in their enforcement area, a similar language. Next page is all pretty similar, same or similar riders, till we get down to, you'll see there on page R48 is the, on the House side is the rider for the MinVest on line 39.29, where they have one-time money for rulemaking and then some continuing money for the MinVest program. And under energy resources, or then the, on the Senate side on page R49 is the rider for the general fund healthcare enforcement. This was in the, from the governor's proposal. Under energy resources, the Senate just continues the base rider on page on line 146.8 for the low-income weatherization program.
And then, Mr. Chair, and we also don't carry that appropriation, right. I should add. And then, Mr. Chair, on the bottom of page R49, kind of going on, probably till R51, are all the appropriations to and from the newly created energy fund account with all the rider language. So that gets us to the bottom of page R51 and insurance. On R52, the Senate side.
And Mr. Chairman, these are all riders that are tied to different appropriations that were on the spreadsheet under the insurance area, so I won't, nothing new or exciting there.
And then on the bottom of R52, there's the transfers, and these are also have to do with the energy fund account, two transfers. And then on page R54, at the top, that's where the propane pre-purchase program language starts. Very similar in terms of the appropriations, just in different years. And then the House also has the language that $5 million each year shall be transferred from federal LIHEAP funds into the general fund. Public Utilities Commission, very simple. And then the Pollution Control Agency and the Department of Administration, the writers for the two studies that are funded from the Energy Fund account in the House side.
Mr. Chairman, the last part on the Senate side are transfers on page R55. Again, this is the language transferring the money from the unemployment contingent account of $3.5 million per year. The cancellation of $6 million of Workforce Development Fund money back to the Workforce Development Fund. This is the surplus money that was reallocated by the Minnesota Job Skills Partnership Board. And the last section here is legal fees. This allows some money previously appropriated for a project that now that some of the money needs to be recovered, and the Itasca County is in charge of recovering some of that money. So they want to use some of that recovered amount or unappropriated amount for their own legal costs for that. That's it for the riders.
Who's got Article 2? Or are there any questions on Article 1 that you guys should ask first? Okay. All right. Carlin, you got it? Article 2. It's up to you guys. I need a rather set up there. So. Thank you. Nice work, you guys. All right. So, depending on how quickly this goes, we'll try and get through Article 2, and then that'll be enough for today. So, okay. Okay, who wants to go first?
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Anita Newman from House Research, and I'll start off. Article 2, page R1, Section 1 of the House and Section 1 of the Senate bill are the same. This is the broadband definition of unserved areas. On the bottom of R1 is a house provision in Section 2, and over to page R2 in Section 3, which makes changes to the Greater Minnesota Business Development Public Infrastructure Program. It changes the grants to be equal to 50% unless the applicant requests a lesser amount, and it increases the maximum grant amount from $1 million to $2 million. That's on page R2.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Carlin Doyle Fontaine with Senate Council. On R2 and then on the next couple of pages is similar language for the Workforce Housing Development Program, and it puts a pilot program into statute. But there are some differences in the language and just the formatting. The House side defines more of an eligible project area versus qualified city. Both sections do include eligibility for market rate residential rental properties and include new modular homes or new manufactured homes on leased land. But those are just in different sections of the bill. In the House, it's at like 38.1, defines what is market rate residential rental properties, and on the Senate side, that's in subdivision 1 at 156.1. And then on page R3, there are some differences also in where the eligible projects can be. For example, in the House side on line 38.21, eligible project areas can be located within 15 miles or less of the boundaries of the area. And then the housing vacancy has been 5%. On the Senate side, it's 25 miles and 3%. On page R3, on line 38.33, and then on the corresponding side of the Senate side, 157.3, it talks about the population for what's an eligible project area or the city, the population. There's a little difference there. The match amounts on subdivision 5 on both sides. One is 25% and a maximum of the project of $1 million on the House side, and the Senate side, it talks about a 25% a grant may not exceed 25% of the project cost, and then the Senate side has a match of from the nonprofit or the organization receiving the grant of $1 for every $2 in grant funds. On page R4, there's all at the top, there's both the House and Senate require a report. The report is coming from different organizations, and the House side, it's coming from the groups that receive the grants, and then the Senate side, it's the commissioners reporting. Section 5, this comes from the governor's, or Section 5 on the House side and Section 3 on the Senate side are the same. This is from the governor's bill, and this is for the Greater Minnesota Business Expansion Administration account, specifying that the application fees would be deposited in that account, and that's the same on both sides. On R5, Section 6 and on the House side and Section 4 on the Senate side are the same, and that's also relating to the application of the fees being deposited and being able to be used by deed for the purposes of the program.
And on page R5, House Section 7, this is a job training program limits. This came in with the Twin City Rise bill. It increases the amount of a placement grant from $9,000 to $11,000 and increases the amount of a retention grant from $9,000 to $11,000. Then down on line 40.28, it changes the language a bit about the spending so that it's no longer at least $15,000. It's now on average $15,000 or more per graduate of the program. Page R6, down on line 41.11 and 41.13 are additional increases from $11,000 to $12,000 a year in the income of a recipient, and then from $7,000 to $10,000 is an increase in the assets that a grant recipient may have.
And Mr. Chair and members, I do want to point out that Senator Desick did add this as an amendment to a bill in committee, but to the Twin Cities Rise bill, but we didn't include the Twin Cities Rise, so it kind of got lost, but it did pass our committee, and I just wanted to point that out, that we did hear it in our budget division.
On page R6 is a Senate-only provision, and this regards the use of workforce development funds by the Job Skills Partnership Board. And this provides some language that the Job Skills Partnership Board would need to provide recommendations for additional uses of workforce development funds after they've already expended some of the funds. And that was added in the division in the Senate side. On page R7, this is a deed request regarding incumbent being able to use vocational rehabilitation dollars for incumbent worker training. And the Senate and House have a little dislocated worker program. And the House and Senate have a little bit different language. And I'm not sure why the House has it a little different than us. But.
Mr. Chair and members, the House chose an economy of words on this one. But on R8, Section 10 of the House is the reduction in the Workforce Development Fund Special Assessment to 0.08. Section 11, beginning on line 42.29, page R8, R9, R10, and R10, and through R11 are the dual training competency grants. And this language is similar, but not the same in the Senate higher education bill. And so this is going to be one of those items to resolve where that is going to be funded. So I am going to one of the different features of the House language is that there. On, if you look on R10, there is an employer match required depending on the annual revenue of the employers. And that employer match is a stepped match. So it begins on line 44.17 and goes through line 44.27. So if you're greater than or equal to $50 million in annual revenue, the employer has to pay 66%. Greater than $20 million but less than $50 million, the employer match is 50%. Greater than $10 million but less than $20 million is a 33% match, and those employers with less than $10 million in annual revenue have to pay at least 20% toward the match amounts. The grants cannot exceed tuition that's equal to 60 credits, and the employee has to apply any Pell grant they get towards the cost of this program. Page R11 into page R12 are job training grants. These are for new jobs that are locations outside the metro area. They have to provide at least 32 hours of work per week, and the employer can't be a former employee or a replacement worker. The page R12, if you look at line, and section 13 also continues this program. If you look down on line 46.30, it starts to provide limits on what the job training costs can be, and they can't exceed $10,000 for an employee. And on line 46.33, there are some wage requirements and length of time and training requirements. If you continue on to page R13 in section 14, is additional language regarding reporting for these job training grants. Page R14, section 15, is the customized training for skilled manufacturing industries. The legislature passed this as a one-time pilot a couple years ago. This would put that pilot program into statute. And it is for only for skilled manufacturing industries with employers that are 50 or fewer employees. There are the requirements, as in the pilot program, for employer-employee agreements and agreements between the employer and the Minsky institution. There are wage, hour, skill, and related instruction requirements, and those are found on page R15. That program continues through page R16.
Beginning on page R17, there's a Senate-only provision. Section 7 puts into statute a new program that, or new function for the workforce service areas that has resulted from the rural task force that occurred last fall, and this would provide for some rural career counseling coordinators outside of the metropolitan area. So that language continues over to R18 with and ends with a reporting requirement regarding the career counseling coordinators.
And the House heard this. Representative Gunther had a bill, House File 809, that was this same program. Page R18, House Section 16 is the Uniform Program Accountability Requirements. This is language similar to what the Senate has in its appropriation rider, but the House requires that any workforce program that gets state funds of any kind are covered by these reporting requirements, and they also include education and training programs that are administered by the commissioner to persons enrolled in adult basic education or the MFIP program. Section 17 of the House, beginning on page R18 and going through page R19 and on to R20, put additional reporting requirements in this uniform reporting program. On page R19, the new requirements are on lines 52.9 to 52.12. And then a little farther down on 52.21, there are requirements that the data not only just be collected and posted, it has to be analyzed, and there has to be a graphic representation of the findings on the department's website. The bottom of page, no, on page R20, sorry, section 20 and 20. Section 20, continuing through page R21 and on to page R22, are changes to the Urban Challenge Program. The reference to low-income areas is changed to low-income persons throughout, and there is a specification on page R21 on line 54.20 that it's a revolving loan fund for low-income persons in the 7-county metro area.
Mr. Chair, members, on page R22 is at the bottom of that page, section 8, are some requirements that were added on the floor by Senator Bonoff relating to the recent report from the Office of the Legislative Auditor for reporting for the Minnesota Film and TV Board reporting requirements.
On page R22, continuing on to page R23, R24, and the very top of R25, are some changes to the extended employment statute. The specific language is on page R23, beginning on lines 5527 to 5531. And this is a change to enable the Courage Center, Sister Kenny, Alina provider to be eligible for extended employment services or extended employment funds, and it changes the focus on the program from a program and a setting to a provider rather than a facility. And this was in a deed bill that this only lifts parts that we determined were necessary to make the Courage Kenny Alina work.
And Mr. Chair, I also wanted to point out that we did have this bill in the House, or in the Senate, Senator Hoffman. It was Senate File 1533, and it is on the Senate floor right now. And on page R25 is a section 24. This was actually the governor's bill, and this would provide that the vocational rehabilitation employees would not be subject to subpoena by clients.
On page R26, House Section 32 is one final provision that deals with the extended employment program and bringing the Courage Kenny Alina into the form it needs to be. Page R27, House Section 34 begins and this continues through page R30 up to line 63.10. This deals with The St. Paul Port Authority and sort of changes its naming convention, that it's the Port Authority of St. Paul can be known by the St. Paul Port Authority, or the St. Paul Port Authority can file a certificate of other assumed names. It requires local approval. On page R28, line 60.29, it specifies the terms of the Port Authority commissioners, and the rest of it through R30 is conforming.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, members. I was going to point out that the Senate, Senator Hercarry, has this bill as well, Senate File 694, and it did pass off the floor on the April 28th, 50-14.
Page R30, House Section 42. This relates to the skilled manufacturing program. A couple pages earlier, and this is the report to the commissioner. House Section 43 on the bottom of page R30 and to the top of R31 directs the commissioner of deed and to consult with the commissioner of health to look at workforce programs to see how things can be bettered to advance long-term care careers in rural Minnesota. Section 44 are the repealers. 116U.26 is the snow bait program, and 469 are provisions related to the St. Paul Port Authority.
On page R31, section 26 on the Senate side, this would put the pilot program for the workforce housing grants program. It makes conforming changes to the pilot program to be consistent with the program we're putting in statute this year. Section 27 relates to the Minnesota, the paid family and medical leave, in the study that is that Mr. Mueller mentioned in the spreadsheet and in the riders. Section 29, that is a day training and habilitation grant program. This is also related to the Olmstead plan, and it is a grant program for day training and habilitation providers, and it provides definitions of what that consists of and eligibility requirements, as well as a report requirement on page R33. Section 30 on R33 is the Getting to Work Grant Program, and this would establish a grant program for grants to nonprofit organizations that operate and establish programs that provide or repair or maintain motor vehicles to assist people getting to work.
And Mr. Chair, the House has this same language in House File 1425 as the Representative Daniels bill. The only difference is the House language does not allow motor vehicles to provide it via a gift. It has to be a sale or lease. And that concludes Article 2.
Good work. Thank you. That'll be enough for today. Does anybody have any questions on any of the side-by-sides that we've seen so far? So I think our rules are that since the Senate had the gavel today, the House will get it tomorrow, the Senate will get it the next day, the House will get it the day after. And so we'll figure that all out. So I don't know if Representative Garofalo has any information on what we might be doing tomorrow, but I'll turn it over to you right now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So tomorrow it'll be the House's intent that it'll be the same room, that we will convene in this room at 3 p.m. or 45 minutes after the completion of both the House and the Senate sessions, whichever is later. So if things get done late in either chamber, it'll be 45 minutes after that. If things get done early, we'll be meeting no earlier than 3 p.m. tomorrow.
Okay, any questions of any of the members? All right. With that, then we'll adjourn for today. Meeting adjourned.